Our Old Testament scripture for the morning comes from the book of Habakkuk. First three verses of the first chapter and the first four of the second. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me, what I will answer concerning my complaints. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end, it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come, it will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by faith. Our gospel lesson comes from the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, the first 8 verses. Jesus told them a parable, to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so she will not beat me down with her continual coming. The Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nonetheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? May the Lord bless to us this reading of his holy word. The scriptures this morning talk about one of the major problems that exist for the Christian faith today. The problem of the invisible God. I want you to think about that. It is a major part of our faith that God is present with us in this world. We believe that in some way he watches over us and cares for us. We believe he not only hears our prayers, but he answers them. We believe that God is among his faithful people. So we've been That's what we've been talking about for the last couple weeks, right? But the question still remains. How often do we actually see that presence? It's a question a lot of people ask today, in one way or another. To be honest, there are a lot of folk who think they know the answer to that question. A lot of people think... A lot of people think you can't see God because He isn't really there. They believe... They believe religion is some kind of vague superstition. For that reason, they don't think you should take it too seriously. They feel faith once had a purpose in the world because it gave people a sense of right and wrong. But now that the human race has matured, we don't need those old tales and fables anymore. There are people who will tell you today it's foolish to trust in religion. We should trust in science. We should trust in medicine. We should trust in technology. That's the big thing today that's going to see us through. I'll be honest with you. I think scientific understanding in our world today is important. I mean, in case you don't know, my bachelor's degree is a Bachelor of Science in math and chemistry with a minor in physics. So I'm kind of science-oriented here. But I've also come to know that you can't let all those other things come between you and God. You still have to have that faith. Those ideas, though, they are becoming so prevalent in the world. I don't know if you read those kind of articles or not, but I keep seeing how people today are looking for other things. In every denomination, the number of people who come to churches is getting smaller and smaller. They're looking for other things that they believe they can trust. Of course, that question isn't really new. To be honest, people have been asking about that invisible God for ages. It's a question that they asked our prophet this morning, Habakkuk, and if you really read his prophecy, you find out it seems to be a question he asked himself a good bit. The prophet lived in an age of uncertainty. The armies of the Chaldeans, who would eventually become the Babylonians and conquer the entire known world of their day, during Habakkuk's time, they are just starting their march. They're heading out to conquer the world. The world is filled with war, and it's getting closer and closer to God's chosen people in the nation of Judah. What happened as that war got closer? Two groups started to rise up. One group was represented by the prophet. They said, people should look at themselves. The government had become corrupt. Businessmen and landowners had gotten greedy. Even the courts had become open to bribes and influence. In a word, people of the nation had turned away from God. The prophet's warning was to repent, to turn back to God, to trust the Lord. And then he will watch over and protect his people. The second group probably would have described themselves as realists. Their response was something along the lines of, yeah, right, it's okay to trust in God, but we've got enemies coming down the road towards us. We need to get ourselves ready for war. We don't have time for religion right now. Does that sound familiar? There have always been voices like that in the world. Danger is coming. Don't try to talk to me now about God. We've got to get ready. Religion is no help in the face of a real enemy. That's what a lot of people in this world seem to think. How long, O Lord, shall I cry for help and you do not listen? Cry to you, violence, but you have not saved. That's the way the world feels about religion today. Some of us still look at those questions and wrestle with them. Others see only the problem and claim to understand that God isn't real. That question continues in our gospel lesson. The main part of that lesson is Jesus' parable of the unjust judge, but the verses that follow that story put it in a kind of strange context. Will God not grant justice to his people and grant it quickly to those who pray to him day and night? Let me put this story in context. The Christians that Luke is reminding that Jesus said these things are probably those being persecuted for their faith. Their torment is so great that they cry out to God both day and night. They're saying their prayers. Their requests for God's help and mercy are being made. But as far as anybody can tell, the persecution continues. Again, the faithful are asking that question. Why does God take so long? The prophet answers that question and offers advice to those who are making it. Remember, when you question God, that you're trying to give advice to the Lord Most High. He created everything that is, and you're just a part of that creation. Understand, God has his reasons. They're just not all that obvious to us. People have given that answer for as long as people have asked that question. Don't you dare question God. That's where the prophet starts, but I want you to notice he goes a step further. Only God fully understands what he himself is doing. But there are a couple of things that the faithful can do in the meantime. First, we need to stand at our watch post. We need to remain faithful. Trust that God is doing something whether we can understand it or see it. We can find faith in our comfort that God really is with us in the world. Second sign goes a step further. Having taken our place in the watchtower, we need to watch and listen and see what God might say. At least that's how the prophet puts it. Can't just trust blindly that God will do something. We also need to be watching to try to find out what that something is. Maybe only God understands completely what He's doing in the world. But there are times when we can see glimpses. Those glimpses start in history, in the Bible, where the people of God from long ago tell us how bad things were back then, but how God was with them. They give us the stories of His presence and His actions and how He helped them. We can trace those claims beyond Scripture through the history of Christ's church in the world. And if you want to do something interesting, look for those glimpses of Christ's actions in this community of faith. Think about the times when you've seen something happen and all you could say was, wow. I mean, think of the stories we had today about the miserable storms and how they did so much damage, but not to people that we care for. If you watch, you see glimpses. In addition to history, we who trust in God have come to know Him through studying His Word, through lifting our prayers to Him. And again, we can catch glimpses of His presence in today's world. That's the way it was with the prophets so long ago. It's how it continues today. The faithful can at times see the signs, can truly recognize some act, some miracle that shows God's presence among them. Having witnessed the presence of God, the next step is to tell others. To put the context of what you have seen, your glimpse of God's presence, into words that others can hear and understand. Habakkuk says, write it in plain characters so that even somebody running past can read it. This is the responsibility of everyone who would remain faithful to God. Habakkuk says it pretty plainly. Luke tells it too, but in slightly different words. Even in times of trouble, we must not give up on God. We need to continue praying, seeking God's presence and help. Even the unjust judge came to repent because of repeated seeking for justice. As Jesus says, if an unrighteous judge can change his mind and help someone, can you trust in God who loves you to help you? Continue to trust in God. Continue to pray and seek His presence, and also be patient. No, the answer is coming. Wait for it in the patience of your faith. And then Luke makes one last statement. A word that almost seems out of place. Yet it makes a final comment on the importance of our place in our watchtowers. It's a simple question. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? You'll notice the gospel writer doesn't give the answer to that question. Maybe he doesn't know. Maybe he's afraid of what it might be. But the interesting thing is, the answer to that question can't be given by somebody else, because it depends so much on you. This isn't a world where it's easy to trust the Word of God. There are so many distractions in the world that would draw us away. Science and medicine, we've already mentioned. But also distractions of pleasure, diversions of amusement or pain. Even just the confusion that comes from the busyness of life. So many things in this world can draw our attention away from God. Will faith still remain when Christ returns? Or is everybody going to have found something else to do? The answer to that question is yours to give. It depends on whether you allow yourself to be drawn away from God into the busyness of all those other things. If you will not be distracted, if you will stand in your watchtower and trust in God and watch what He's doing, you will stand in your faith. But the question continues. Will you lead others to that faith as well? I apologize for not knowing who said it, but I came across one of my favorite quotes 3 times in the last week. Always preach the gospel. If you absolutely have to, use words. Don't proclaim your faith in the things that come out of your mouth. Show your faith in the things you do. The way you stand in integrity. The way you help others. The way you show respect and caring. Show your faith in a way that makes others envy what you have. That make them wonder how you do these things. And when they ask, tell them. Because in sharing your faith with others, you guarantee that faith will still be here when Christ returns. Let's pray. Oh God, how amazing is your love, and how weak is our faith. How often we get caught up in today's problems and forget all the amazing things you've done for us in the past. Oh God, don't just stand beside us, but help us to see your presence. Help us to know and to recognize your love right there beside us. And as we know it ourselves, help us to share it with others as well. Amen.